You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. Today is Thursday, February 8th, 2018. It is NBA trade deadline day, and I'm your host, Lucas Han. You can follow me on Twitter at LucasJHan, as well as check out my website at ClipsNation.com and follow along on Twitter there at ClipsNationSBN. So, today, this is right now recording this the morning of trade deadline day with just hours to go for teams to make deals, including the Clippers, who figure to be one of the more active teams in talks this morning, although activity on the phone does not always translate into high volume of trades completed. But there's going to be a lot of rumors, a lot of stuff going on today surrounding the Clippers. There's actually already things, my phone it will not stop, and so I'm just hoping that I can get through a quick podcast to kind of set the table for you guys this morning heading into the trade deadline without something major happening and my phone exploding while I'm trying to record. So let's go very quickly through this. The guys that the Clippers have possibly able to trade, or not able to trade, but I should say players who are likely to be traded or are active in talks. DeAndre Jordan, of course, is someone that several teams have contacted the Clippers about. He's going to be the main focus of today's trade deadline, probably around the league. A lot of people interested in where DeAndre ends up. Avery Bradley, a guy that the Clippers just got from the Detroit Pistons on an $8.8 million expiring contract, has a very good defensive reputation around the league. It would not surprise me if teams really ponied up to get him. We know the Spurs are interested there. We'll talk more, a little bit more about that in a moment. And then beyond that, Lou Williams is a guy that has had a lot of chatter going into this deadline, but Lou Williams did officially sign his extension with the Clippers Wednesday afternoon. That means that he cannot be traded for at least 6 months, which means he will not be traded at this deadline. There is no way, it doesn't matter what someone offers, there's nothing, it's against the rules, he cannot be traded. Lou Williams will be with the Clippers for the rest of the season. And then further down the roster, there are other guys that the Clippers, you know, have talked about a little bit. Austin Rivers, Wesley Johnson, guys that have been mentioned, but not really significant interest or intrigue surrounding rumors for those guys in the same way as DeAndre Jordan and Avery Bradley. So let's get started right away, first things first, talking about Avery Bradley. So Bradley, that $8.8 million expiring contract, we know he's got a strong defensive reputation around the league. Teams see him as a two-way shooting guard, as very solid. He was a guy who, if he'd been a free agent last summer, would have been in line to make a good amount of money, but he wasn't a free agent last summer. He's a free agent this summer when the salary cap is going to be a little bit suppressed. So it's going to be, you know, interesting to see what he gets in free agency this summer, but I think that that might be one thing that scares the Clippers and would make them a little open towards moving him. I think the other reason the Clippers are fairly open towards moving Avery Bradley is because they already have this guard core of Patrick Beverley, Austin Rivers, Lou Williams, Milos Sadosic, four really good rotation guards who work well together kind of in that quartet. Of course, Beverley has missed almost the entire season this year, but the other three have all had good seasons when they've been healthy. And then behind them, guys like Tyrone Wallace and CJ Williams on two-way contracts have both shown to be rotation-level NBA players. Like, both guys I expect, you know, to be on the Clippers' 15-man roster next year. And then behind them, the Clippers have Juwan Evans and Sendarius Thornwell, two second-round rookies that they're trying to develop. So the Clippers, frankly, have a lot of guard depth. They have a solid guard rotation. I don't know, when you add Avery Bradley to that core, how much better that core gets. Of course, he's individually better than Thornwell and Evans and Wallace and Williams. You know, he's better than those guys as an individual head-to-head, but those are the third and fourth string guards for the Clippers. Is he significantly better than guys like Tadosic, Williams, Rivers, and Beverley? Maybe he might be better than them, but I don't know how much of a gap it is, and I don't know, especially Patrick Beverley, who's probably the Clippers' best guard. When Beverley is back healthy next season, I don't know how much Bradley brings you that isn't redundant with Beverley, seeing as they're both kind of 6'2 defensive bulldogs in that way. So I think, you know, Bradley's a guy the Clippers are really open to moving. A lot of teams have interest in him, understandably, because he's a very valuable player. He's the kind of player the Clippers definitely would have had interest in years past, before, you know, they didn't always have as much guard depth as they happen to have this season. So I think that, you know, there's definitely a chance that he could go somewhere. The Clippers are looking for a first-round pick. There was some rumor earlier in the week that maybe they would be willing to waiver on that, but now it seems like interest in Bradley has upped back to the point that the Clippers feel good about asking for a first-round pick. We'll see how it goes in the next few hours, if they end up with that, getting offers that include first-round picks or not, if a first-round pick is enough, because even though the Clippers don't need Bradley, they still like him as a player. And, you know, if they don't get a first-round pick, do they still make a deal, depending on what's involved? The one team that seems to have really strong interest in Bradley right now is the San Antonio Spurs. They would like his defense, I think, for Steph Curry in the playoffs, but also for Chris Paul in the playoffs. That seems to be the case to me. And I think maybe they feel like they can get away with being a little smaller at shooting guard with the 6'2 Avery Bradley, because they've made the full-time switch now and are starting the 6'5 youngster DeJounte Murray at point guard over, of course, the diminutive Tony Parker. So maybe they feel like DeJounte Murray can cross-match onto a guy like Klay Thompson, and then you put Bradley onto Chris Paul, or Bradley onto Steph Curry. And then does Bradley guard Harden? You know, I mean, the Rockets are, these teams are hard to match up with, but it gives the Spurs, maybe they feel like, a better weapon against quick guards, where Danny Green is a guy who they have used in the past to guard wings a little bit more so. So Avery Bradley would replace Danny Green in the starting lineup. The Spurs, according to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, are exploring trading Danny Green back to the Clippers for Avery Bradley, which is interesting because Danny Green, I think, in a vacuum, is a better player than Avery Bradley, although I know Green has definitely slowed down in the last few years from when he was at his peak with the Spurs. But Green is also 6'6". He can play both wing positions equally well. So he would come in, maybe start at the shooting guard for the Clippers. I don't know if he would unseat Austin Rivers, because Austin Rivers does a little bit more off the bounce offensively, but he would definitely be playing a lot of minutes in relief at small forward, kind of in rotation with Gallinari and Tobias Harris. Maybe when, you know, Gallinari checks out early, then Danny Green would play small forward, and then when Gallinari comes back in for Tobias Harris, Danny Green stays at small forward and Gallinari slides in at power forward, something like that. But I think it could definitely work. Green is a solid defender, a solid three-point shooter, definitely a little inconsistent and a little bit in decline from the last couple of years. He's making $10 million this season. He has a player option for $10 million next season, but I don't know if he'll accept it or if he'll opt in or opt out. Again, the market is a little bit funky this summer. But even if he opts in, I think that's a solid value, and it's only for one season, which still gives the Clippers that space in the summer of 2019. The report that Adrian Wojnarowski put out is that the framework the Clippers and Spurs have discussed is Danny Green and a first-round pick for Avery Bradley, but the Spurs are a little bit hesitant on that first-round pick. So maybe we'll see who blinks heading into this deadline. But I think that that would be a win for the Clippers if they can not only get a late first-round pick for Avery Bradley, but also get a solid player on a short-term contract to help their rotation and help them try to win now and win in the long term, which is what they're doing. I think they get a guy who's a better fit for their current roster composition to help them win this and next season, and they don't risk losing or overpaying Avery Bradley in free agency this summer. Plus, you get a first-round pick to help you build for the future. I don't know if the Spurs are going to end up being willing to do that. It might depend on who else calls for Avery Bradley as the deadline approaches, or who else the Spurs are in contact with as the deadline approaches, but it's something definitely to keep an eye on over the next 6 hours or so. The only last note for that deal that I have is that Danny Green making $10 million, Avery Bradley making $8.8 million, and the Clippers being somewhere around $500,000, $600,000 under the luxury tax, this deal puts the Clippers into the luxury tax, which is definitely a concern for the team because it's something that they have desperately been trying to avoid all season long. So now that the long-term calculus of the team is a little bit different than it was a month ago with Blake Griffin gone, do the Clippers think that they could potentially be avoiding the luxury tax for, you know, in years down the line, and for that reason maybe they're willing to dip into it this year? It wouldn't be an expensive luxury tax bill. The problem is that it would cost them multiples of that in the future in the repeater tax. But with Blake Griffin's long-term salary gone, with the team potentially moving DeAndre Jordan or DeAndre Jordan leaving in free agency, if they aren't as worried about the luxury tax bill coming next year and the year after and the year after, perhaps it's a situation where they're willing to dip into the tax this season to complete a trade that they want to complete. Or if they do make a separate DeAndre Jordan trade, maybe they can shed enough money in that trade to make up for this money in the Danny Green trade. So it would definitely be interesting to see. Now we're going to talk about DeAndre Jordan. First, I do want to remind you guys, make sure you check out Locked On Spurs and Locked On Cavaliers for the other side to the rumors that we're discussing in this podcast today. So the Cavaliers remain interested in DeAndre Jordan, but they remain operating with a limited toolbox, which is something that, you know, frankly, we've seen the Clippers on the other side of this every trade deadline for the last several years, especially, like, I think a great example is when they were trying to get Carmelo Anthony last year, and they just didn't really have a ton of options, and it was like some sort of Jamal Crawford, Austin Rivers draft pick package, which isn't really great return value for a guy like Carmelo Anthony, even in his current declined state. And that's kind of where the Cleveland Cavaliers are, where they can offer like Tristan Thompson's horrible contract and the 27th pick for an all-star. And it doesn't make a lot of sense. But the Cavaliers are trying to improve. They want to get better ahead of today's deadline. And, you know, the Clippers are listening, but I don't know what Cleveland is going to be able to come up with that will work. It sounds like this morning, Thursday morning, on the day of the deadline, the Clippers and the Cavaliers are more engaged at this point than they have been at any other point in the process, and it seems as though talks are based around a three-team trade that would involve the Cavaliers sending out Tristan Thompson, but the Clippers not getting him. So sending Tristan Thompson to a third team, a probably bad team, with cap space. We had a report last night from Adrian Wojnarowski that the Indiana Pacers are a team that has a ton of salary cap flexibility going forward and is willing to take on a bad contract for a draft pick. So perhaps you orchestrate a trade like this where Tristan Thompson goes to Indiana and maybe the Clippers turn around and flip that pick that they get from the Spurs, which is going to be in the 20s, to the Pacers in exchange for them taking Tristan Thompson. And then now the money is a lot freer for you to negotiate whatever deal you want between the Clippers and the Cavaliers value-wise. The problem is, what is that deal? You know, unless the Cavaliers are willing to give up the Brooklyn Nets pick, I don't know what the conversation is between the Clippers and Cavaliers. Because I just don't get it. Because if the Cavaliers send their own first-round pick to Indiana to help dump the contract, they literally have nothing left to send to the Clippers. It would be like, what's the trade? DeAndre Jordan for Jay Crowder? That's the trade. DeAndre Jordan for Channing Frye's expiring contract? That's the trade. There's no value in that for the Clippers. Or if the Clippers are the one who are sending a pick to Indiana and they send, say, let's say they get the San Antonio pick in a Bradley trade and then flip that to Indiana, which would be a lot of things to happen in the next couple hours, but it is possible. Then if they do that and Cleveland isn't willing to part with the Nets pick, then the best asset the Clippers are getting from this trade, maybe it's DeAndre Jordan and the Spurs pick for Jay Crowder and Cleveland's pick. So you're moving up, you know, six or seven spots in the draft and getting Jay Crowder for DeAndre Jordan. Again, it's just not something that I think is even close to fair value. Although I suppose it is technically better than letting DeAndre Jordan walk in free agency, and we don't know what other offers the Clippers have. So I guess it's something for them to consider. But I do think ultimately, when push comes to shove, the Nets pick is going to have to be involved in some way for the Clippers to get involved in this deal with Cleveland. I don't, you know, and maybe they find something that I am not seeing, but I've looked at it over and over for weeks. I've been looking at it a lot in the last couple of days. I do not see, I cannot find a deal that seems to me to make any sense for the Clippers that does not include the Brooklyn Nets pick. Even a lot of deals that include the Brooklyn Nets pick are a little bit iffy. You know, I mean, something like Tristan and the Nets pick for DJ straight up, you know, with a little salary filler coming from Cleveland. But even then, I don't know if getting that like ninth pick is worth that massive long-term salary for the Clippers because we know how committed they seem to be to protecting their books long-term. So that's something that's going to be interesting to watch. Talks are definitely heating up heading into the deadline. I also wouldn't be surprised of the other teams that have been interested in DJ, especially a team like Washington, where no traction was really made on a deal the first time around. It would not surprise me if at least one of those teams, Milwaukee, Portland, Washington, re-engages with the Clippers. And my guess is the reason there was no traction in those original talks was because those teams probably started the call with bad contracts or low offers, trying to buy low. And the Clippers just said, we're not going to talk about, like, they probably said to the Wizards, we're not going to talk about a deal around Ian Mahinmi. They probably said to the Trailblazers, we're not going to talk about a deal around Evan Turner. And maybe one of those teams, it would not shock me if one of those teams today, before the deadline, re-engages with the Clippers and says, okay, well, what if we, fine, we won't give you that bad contract. How can we build a package around Mo Harkless? How can we build a package around Marcin Gortat? And then maybe you start talking a little bit with those teams. That doesn't mean that a deal gets done, because there's a lot of ground to cover between Washington compromising between Mahinmi and Gortat and having a completed $22 million package for an all-star center in DeAndre Jordan. But that's the first big step towards getting there. And then, it's up to the teams to race against the 3 p.m. Eastern Time deadline to figure out what kind of deal they can make. So that's going to do it for this brief morning update trade deadline primer for the Clippers heading into today's NBA trade deadline. Once again, the deadline is at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time for the Clippers. They have just hours left to complete deals, or else they will face a reality where this summer they could potentially lose DeAndre Jordan and Avery Bradley for nothing in free agency. Now, that doesn't mean that they should be hasty and make any bad trades that could potentially cost them long term and be worse than letting these guys leave in free agency, but they certainly don't want to look back in July when DeAndre Jordan has signed somewhere else and feel like, damn, we could have gotten X, Y, and Z for DeAndre in February, but we didn't pull the trigger and now we have nothing to show for it. So it'll be an interesting day for the Clippers. I have Twitter notifications turned on my phone, so literally every time that one of the big reporters sends a tweet, it pops up on my screen as if I'm getting a text message. It is incredibly annoying, but I suppose it's the nature of the game for someone who's invested in it as myself. Make sure that you are reading the ClipStation blog, ClipStation.com. All the new trade rumors and news will be posted there, as well as for even more instant reaction. Follow me on Twitter today at Lucas J. Han. Follow the ClipStation blog on Twitter at ClipsNationSBN. And stay tuned for any follow-up pods that could be coming later this afternoon or tomorrow discussing the moves that the Clippers are making or looking to make. Thank you guys for listening. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or feedback, hit me up on Twitter. As I said, Lucas Jahan. You can email me as well, although I will warn you today, my email is a little busy, lhan.clipsnation@gmail.com. And thank you guys for listening. Again, this is Lucas Jahan signing off for Locked On Clippers.